Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. I want to take a few minutes to talk about three kinds of problems that we can face. Some of us are in the middle of problems that just seem to be designed to hurt us or harm us. They may come from circumstances, or they may come from people who are not looking out for us and don't have our best interests in mind. They want to do harm to us. There are other kinds of problems. They can start as being one kind of problem and move into another. They may have harm, they may have difficulty, they may have bad intentions, but what makes them really insidious is that the problem is designed by the enemy of our souls to pull us away from God and to defeat our very life in God. And then there's a third kind of problem, and that is the problem that God uses to make you stronger, and that even though you're going through it, he is working to bring you closer to him. It's important to distinguish between the kinds of problems you're going through so that you know what to do and how to respond. This week, we're reading about Balaam in Genesis, starting in chapters 22 and moving forward. And Balaam was a sorcerer. And he had some kind of access to supernatural power, and the enemies of Israel hired him to curse Israel. And so when he did his work, it was intentional to hurt Israel, to harm Israel. In fact, the one who hired him, Balak, had the idea that if Balaam would curse Israel, somehow Israel would become weak enough that Balak's army could defeat Israel. So Balaam, this very unusual character, unusual in that he has some kind of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but it's not clean. It's not pure. His life isn't dedicated to serving God. And he tries to curse Israel. He tries to weaken Israel, but he is not content with just doing harm. His actual plan, which takes several weeks of reading to unfold, his actual plan is to defeat Israel and to pull Israel away from God and to cause Israel to worship Baal and other false gods. And the way he ultimately accomplishes his most evil intentions is not through his words, but through his actions. And he recognizes the vulnerability of the men of Israel and their human desire, and he uses the women of Moab to seduce them. And not only are they seduced physically, sexually, but they're seduced spiritually. And they are drawn away from pure service to God, and they end up worshiping Baal and become servants of an evil, demonic lord. Now, for a moment, I want to compare what Balaam was able to do with the kinds of problems that Joseph had. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Now, you may have problems with your brother or your sister. You may have had some difficulty in your relationships, but chances are really good none of them sold you into slavery. Joseph's brothers meant to harm him. They did evil because it was their intention to defeat God's plans for Joseph. Not just to hurt him, but they did not want to see what God was doing in Joseph fulfilled. They wanted to stop it. And so not only did they betray their brother, they sold him into slavery, and then they forgot him. They lied to their father about what had happened and let their father believe that Joseph had died. They were intent on replacing their will for the declared will of God. They did not want the declared will of God to be fulfilled. Now, anyone who has gone through difficulty, gone through betrayal, and has faced that kind of sorrow could understand how Joseph might have reacted. He may have become an embittered person. You've met bitter people who have been mistreated by others. They've actually suffered at the hands of others. And they take to heart their suffering, and they allow the evil that was done to them to grow a root of bitterness inside and to cause their hearts to depart from the Lord. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. And when he was a slave, his master's wife tried to seduce him and promised him, in a sense, that if he would give in to her seduction, then he would have pleasure and a good life. But Joseph refused the seduction. He stood against that, unlike those in Israel who gave in to the seduction of the women of Moab. He stood against it. He refused it. And you would think that that would have made his life better for having taken a position, right? Because every time you take a position for good, it makes things easier. And every time you discern the will of God and you align yourself with it, it's smooth sailing, is it not? You know, sometimes the decision to follow the Lord will really cost us. And the easier way seduces us, because it offers to us shortcuts. It offers us lies. It offers us other ways to try to rescue ourselves and get out of our problems. Joseph refused, and that created a whole new set of problems. When he refused, he ended up in jail, in prison. Not just jail, in prison. How many of you know the difference between prison and jail? Dr. Will knows. He's working in prison. Prisoners are there for a much longer time, generally, than those in jail. And Joseph was in prison, and there was no one who would hear his cause. And there was no way out. And in such a situation, it is so easy to say, it's not fair. How many of you have said that in the last week? It's not fair. It's not right. It's not just. And we plead our own case. And we take our own position. We say, it's not right. And there are times when we are suffering because we did something right. And then we turn it upside down and say, it's not right, the trouble that I've gotten into for doing what's right. And that, friends, that turnaround sometimes can make us vulnerable to questioning God, to pulling away from Him. We start saying, this isn't right. Why is this happening? And the accusation gets in our hearts and in our minds, and we start agreeing with the accuser of the Lord. And we start saying, if the Lord is really the Lord, why is this happening? Isn't that one of our favorite prayers? Why, Lord, are you letting this happen? Sometimes what God lets happen is that because we took a stand, we're going to have to keep taking a stand. He lets us continue to keep taking a stand. But don't you wish you only had to take a stand once? Don't you wish that life was as quick as, you know, drive-through ordering? We wish it were that quick. But often the hardest things in life and the most precious things in life take time. And we have to keep taking a stand. We have to continue to remember. When we think it's not fair and we think it's not just and we think, where is God in these situations? We become vulnerable to pulling away from the Lord. Joseph is a good example of a man who did not do that. And he did not allow his sufferings or the difficulties or the injustices that came upon him to distort his relationship with God. In fact, during those times, he pressed into God. And so it was a time of suffering, a time of difficulty, but Joseph took advantage of it. And he drew close to the Lord. He worked hard. He worked faithfully. He didn't say, it's not just, I'm just going to sit in the corner and sulk. He woke up every morning and he did the very best he could, better than anyone else. He remained faithful. He honored the Lord. Even to the point that those around him recognized that the hand of the Lord was on Joseph because everything he did prospered. Even while he was in prison, he was prospering. Now that goes against all economic theory, doesn't it? When you're not being paid, when you're a slave, when you don't have citizenship, when you're working hard and you're getting nothing, how can it be that you're blessed? Well, God's economy is different. God knows how to save up. God knows how to preserve. God knows how to release. And there was a certain moment when faithful Joseph was released from prison. But he wasn't released to go back into slavery. He was released what? To become the prime minister. No wonder politics draws so many people who have one foot in prison and one foot in the world. Maybe they're thinking, well, it worked for Joseph. It could work for me. I'm just being funny. Joseph knew something. He did not have a plan. He had a commitment. It wasn't a plan for his self-promotion. It was a commitment to be faithful to God. And he knew something, that if he remained faithful to God, God would raise him up in his time and in his way. He didn't quit. He didn't turn things into bitterness that had been done against him. And the day came when he was prime minister and his brothers were in front of him and he revealed himself. And he confronted them and he said, you sold me into slavery. A little confrontation. What you meant for harm, God has used for good. Now, Joseph does not say that what you did turned out to be good. He says what you did was evil, but God turned your intentions around. The results of your intentions should have been evil and harm to me, but they weren't. They were God's deliverance for you today. That's what Joseph understood. That's what Joseph was able to say. And then this is what Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 28. And he said, God causes all things. Say that with me. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God causes all things to work together for good. How many things?
All
things. Even the things that were intended to hurt us, even the things that were intended to break us, God turns their results around and causes good to come out. Doesn't make the thing good that was done. But God knows how to get his hands on nasty things and turn them into something else. You see, how is this possible? It's possible because in Yeshua, every curse is paid for. In Messiah, the curses that you and I deserve are taken on him. He pays the price. And he delivers us from every curse. What's the condition? You have to love him. What's the condition? You have to remain called to his purposes. Not to your purposes. Not to your plans. Don't be so in love with your plans and your time frame that you forget his plans and his time frame. You say now, he says okay, and it happens 7 years later. You say, Lord, I need help in just a minute. He says, it'll just be a minute. 10 years later, the minute comes. Sometimes it's like that. Other times it's sudden and surprising and unexpected because God is the master of time. And he controls. And he has authority to do good for you. Many people are going through problems that could harm you. Many people are going through problems that, if not responded to well, could actually pull you away from God. We don't want to end up in the condition that those who were seduced by the Moabite women fell into. It doesn't have to be that kind of seduction. It can be any kind of force that pulls you away, that causes you to forget that God is with you and that your life can be dedicated in service to him even through the problems. When you hold on to him as he's holding on to you, you know what? You get delivered from the problems that are meant to harm you and hurt you. You get delivered from the problems that are meant to pull you away from God, and God gets his hands on those very problems, and they become the things that pull you closer to him and cause your life to fulfill his purposes. Sometimes it's the very problems that we wish we didn't have that are used to direct us into ways we never would have gone on our own, and bring us into places we could never have gotten to by ourselves. The very slavery, the very unjust imprisonment that Joseph experienced were the things that positioned him to become prime minister, to bring God's deliverance to Egypt and to Israel as well and the whole Middle East during a time of famine. You may be having problems right now. Does anyone here have problems? Good, I'm not alone. And neither are you. We all have problems, and I'm praying for you right now during these times of replenishing and fulfilling and renewing that you will be able to see that through Yeshua, your problems will bring you closer to him and actually help you fulfill his purposes. If that's what you need, you can pray with me. Lord, we stand before you. We lift up to you our problems. Those things that we face that are intended to harm us or hurt us or pull us away from you. And we want to get on the right side of the problem. We want to stand with you. We stand with Dorothy. We stand with Mike Gordon now as they face the medical challenge for Dorothy's cancer, and we say, Lord, we're standing with you, and you're standing with them. Lord, we are standing with you about all of our personal problems, our job problems, our relationship problems, our health problems. And we understand something, Lord. You are with us, and you have a hope and a future for us. We thank you, Lord, that you can turn what look like problems into challenges, and what look like just challenges that test our character into opportunities that actually bring the fulfillment of your will in surprising ways. Use us, Lord. Help us have the mind of Messiah. Help us stay faithful to you. Help us, Lord, be faithful to do that which you've called us to do. We bless you, Lord, that you've called us with purpose. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We ask that you would fill us up with your hope, that you would release into us your living word through Messiah Yeshua that gives us not just eternal life but abundant life and blessed life in this world and the world to come. Renew our strength, replenish us, that we would have the victory in you and give all honor to you. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.